Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about us, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. And I'd like to invite you to subscribe to my blog at blueprintforwealth.org, where there's a wealth of information on tax, estate planning, and business planning topics, all in article form, video form, or audio. We have radio shows archived all the way back 4.5 years. And lastly, I'd like to invite you to read my column in the Washington Business Journal that appears once every month, entitled Blueprint for Wealth on Topics of Interest. I'm going to be continuing our discussion of equity incentive plans and different types of incentives that can be offered for the employees of your companies. And I'm really referring to mostly privately held companies because we have so many significant private employers in this area. I'm going to be talking today about performance stock options in what are called broad-based plans. Almost all stock options that are issued under a broad-based stock option plan are either referred to as non-qualified stock options or incentive stock options. When I refer to broad-based, I'm basically referring to companies that provide options to pretty much all their employees, not just a select group of highly compensated employees or management. These plans qualify for fixed price accounting generally, so they don't show up on the company's income statement as an expense at the time the options are granted. Non-qualified stock options have the benefit of when they're granted, they're not taxed to the employees, nor are they deductible to the employer generally. But when the employee exercises a non-qualified stock option, the employee has to pay income tax on the difference between the value of the stock on the date that he or she exercises that option and the underlying exercise price that was selected at the time of grant. Incentive stock options, on the other hand, are subject to some very rigorous standards and requirements that they must meet under the Internal Revenue Code. The benefit of an incentive stock option is not only is it not taxed at the time of grant, it's not subject to regular tax on exercise. Be cautious, however, an incentive stock option is subject to the alternative minimum tax on the date of exercise. Now, I mentioned fixed price accounting. This is important to a lot of companies because they don't want to have to pay income tax when the options are merely granted. But some plans, particularly for executives, use what are called performance-based options. These plans provide that the option holder will not get any value from the option unless certain requirements or conditions are satisfied, such as the share price has to exceed a certain value above the grant price in order to qualify for vesting on the options, or the company has to beat certain industry benchmarks. These performance-based plans may require that the company use what's called variable plan accounting. This requires a company to show on its income statement a value that's determined by calculating the difference between the grant price of the options, the original exercise price, and the stock's current fair market value at the end of the fiscal year, multiplied by the percentage of options that vest during the year, and then adjusted for any prior expense that was claimed or recorded. The general rule is if you have a performance-based plan, and you have the measurement date, which is the first date on which the number of shares and the exercise price are actually known, occurs after the grant date, you're going to have variable plan accounting. This is going to result in a current hit to your income statement, what they refer to as a hit to earnings. And this discourages many companies from using at least some kinds of performance options in a broad-based plan. This is so, even though an argument should be made that shareholders are much happier with performance-based approach. As long as shareholders are in blissful accounting ignorance, the fixed approach does seem to be better for the company overall. Companies also can be concerned that attaching a performance criteria to stock options might be inappropriate for non-executives because they may have little control over helping the company hit the targets. So maybe the performance-based type plan should be used for executives only. Of course, they have no more control over whether the company's stock price increases above the grant price, but the layering on of conditions can make the options too uncertain and not much of an incentive for the employees in the future. The people who support performance-based plans say that providing a specific target really can help focus employee behavior and the employees' interests on company-specific goals. If you don't have these types of performance-based criteria, the employees often benefit from options simply because the industry or the overall market does well. The plans may also be easier to sell to many of the shareholders who have to typically approve of the plans, even if they qualify or don't qualify for fixed plan accounting. If these and other arguments are persuasive, several types of performance options can be considered. The plans we're going to talk about are not the only choices available to companies, so you may want to give us a call at 703-218-2100 to learn more about the options that are available. I break it down into plans that allow fixed plan accounting, which is beneficial to the company because they don't have to engage in the histrionics and the calculations that are involved in variable plan accounting, and variable plan accounting. In the fixed plan accounting world, you may have a very simple plan where the company grants an options only if you hit certain targets. So if you have that type of a performance grant, such as where the stock price or profits hit certain specified targets, then you're not going to have variable accounting. You will have fixed plan accounting generally. Here's another one, a performance acceleration, where there's performance acceleration and vesting. These plans will grant options typically like usual. In other words, I'll give 10,000 options to this employee, 1,000 options to that employee, and they may have a normal, say, 4-year vesting schedule so that if it's 1,000 options, 250 options vest each year at the end of every year. So a 25% year vesting schedule would result in 75% vesting after 3 years. But you could have an additional provision in the agreement or the plan that accelerates that 75% to 100% if certain revenue targets are met. These plans normally get fixed plan accounting treatment as long as the base vesting schedule, the 4-year schedule that I just described, does not exceed the company's normal option vesting schedule, or if it's the only kind of plan, what's normally arguably normal for the industry. There are also fixed plans that provide for premium priced options. These options are granted at an exercise price that exceeds the current market value, meaning that they're what we call underwater. They're out of the money. For them to have a value, the stock has to actually increase in value to this higher target exercise price. Companies generally have to give option holders the right to exercise their vested options, even if the price is below the target price. Here's an example. Let's say the current price on the date of grant is $10 a share, and you set the exercise price higher, that's a premium priced option, to say $15. If the shares go up to $14 when the employee is otherwise fully vested, the option holder has to have the ability to exercise the option and buy that $14 share for $15 because the strike price was set at $15. If you have that type of plan, it's a fixed price plan. Plans that require variable plan accounting include the following: price vested options. Under these plans, options are granted at the current market price, but the holder only vests when the shares reach a designated higher price. So, for example, the plan might say that I'm granting you the shares today with an exercise price of $10, but they'll only vest if the price hits $15. A plan might provide that some of the options will vest at one price and other options will vest at a higher price. This requires variable plan accounting, which means that the company has to go through the exercise of determining the value of these options every year. Performance vested options I mentioned before also are subject to variable plan accounting. These options are tied to specific individual, group, or corporate goals. Like price vested options that I just talked about, they vest upon achieving a certain objective, except that some other measurement than stock price provides the trigger, like hitting a revenue target, or hitting a profit target, or a return on investment. These types of plans generate variable plan accounting, which is more complicated and may result in that hit to earnings, even to a private company. If you want to know more about stock option plans and structuring them either as performance-based or basic stock option planning, give us a call at 703-218-2100 and we'll be glad to help. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth, and we're talking about stock options.